All right, we're going to pick this up. We've been talking about receiving from the kingdom, cooperating with the kingdom, releasing from the kingdom, interacting with the kingdom, being blessed from the kingdom. And basically what God said was seek first the kingdom. You know why he said that? Because if you don't understand how the kingdom works, you're never going to be like the bird of the air or the lily. We're going to end up toiling and spinning. We're going to end up sowing and reaping in an earth curse system. We're sowing hard because we didn't seek first how the kingdom works. Once you understand it, those things will start getting added and then multiplied. I'm looking for the days of multiplication. Amen. Because that's where you get the job done in the kingdom. So we've talked about this, asking, believe we receive, when we pray into the domain. And I'm going to revisit this. You know why? I've been a pastor for 13 years, and I found one immutable truth. You can teach a whole lot and have a whole lot of knowledge, but if you're not walking in any of it, you can have knowledge for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. But if you can't make that knowledge work, it's knowledge. And I said, Lord, and the Lord said, the way you're going to get revelation to work is focus. You focus until they say, is he preaching on this again? And then they say it, is he preaching on this again? And then they said, oh my God, I got it. I got it. I got it. And when it starts working in the people, that truth becomes reality. Listen to something. We all have things in us that the word of God has to break through. So we talk about praying, believe we receive into the kingdom of God within us, how to loose from that position of the kingdom, how to interact with a blessing when it comes, if it comes in seed form. Now, what I want to talk more about, we've been talking about the last three or four services, the guarding of the heart with all diligence, the keeping of the deposit until it becomes in a manifestation, and building of the faith and tearing down strongholds that are keeping the blessing from coming. Now, last couple of services, we spoke about Abraham, and we looked at Abraham's life amazingly. Him and Sarah were laughing. He was 99, Sarah was 89. And both of them were laughing at God when he told them, the son I've been talking to you about for the last 24 years is coming through your own loins. And they fell on the floor in utter unbelief, laughing at God. This is the father of faith. This is the one we're supposed to be looking at. This is the one, and in this Romans 4 testimony was totally different. I mean, staggered not at the promise of God, fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. You know, you see this man in Romans 4, I'm like, that's not who I'm reading about. Birthed in Ishmael. See, because God really never looks at you the way you look at you. But Abraham had to gain that testimony by the birth of Isaac. And I'm like, how did he do that in 1 year? How did he get his faith over the line like that? Because he was laughing. Lord, he didn't believe you at all. He laughed at you, said, can a child be born to him to 100 years old? He said, he did. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, he did what I asked him to do in the beginning. He goes, isn't that with you? I'm like, we're not talking about me right now. We're talking about Abraham. I said, we're talking about Abraham, not me. God always likes to get it back in your court. He goes, how many times I've been getting you to do this, and now you're just doing it. I said, yeah, it's amazing how God's instructions very rarely ever change. You can go 10 years, and after 10 years, you get back in there and say, okay, I'm back right again. Let's go. And God said, okay, let's discuss this, what we started 10 years ago. Lord, no, I want to move beyond that. He goes, that's the only thing that's going to get you beyond. And so what he does in those 10 years is he breaks those things that keep us from being able to walk in obedience. And he causes us to become discipline. How many, everyone say the word discipline? Not in the flesh, because it won't last. But there is a discipline in the spirit that God works in you that will last. You can be disciplined all you want in the flesh. It won't last. Noble shall, but when God works with you and weeds things out and he, with a winnowing fork, anybody ever been under the winnowing fork? I can't talk too much about this. I got to get in the southern. That winnowing fork, he gets that out of you, and boy, and something releases, and you're strong, you're stable, you're anchored, you're solid. He gets rid of your issues. Anybody got any issues? We always have issues, but you know, he works on them. So Abraham did it. He looked at the stars of the heaven, the sand, the seashore, and I said, what was all that about, Lord? He said, I needed to get him out of his temporary. And I need to get him into a place where evidence of what I said lived. Write this down if you're taking notes. Evidence. You will never find evidence of what God said in the temporary realm you're living in, or in the present temporary. Where you are, what God says, God always speaks it. But in order to birth what God has said, you're going to have to go find the evidence that does not reside in the temporary present realm. All right? Abraham did that. In 1 year, God repainted the picture of unbelief. He embraced as the stars of the heaven, embraced as the sand of the seashore, embraced it. My descendants are the stars of the heaven. My descendants are as the sand of the seashore. My descendants. When he did that, he crossed the line. Faith became the substance of those things hoped for. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. That word thinketh means to act. This is really important. As a gatekeeper, your heart is the gate for which all the kingdom flows through. Now, I'm still in review here. Everyone look at your neighbor and said, he's still in review. Okay, then we talked about having gate issues, because as a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. If you've got a gate issue, you're going to need a lot of tissue, because that gate, that's good, is going to block certain things. Some people can't even get the initial deposit because they've rejected the message, or they do not believe they're worthy. I had somebody come the other day, and they told me, you wouldn't believe who asked me this question. I'm not going to say who it is. They asked me, you know, I feel like God has asked, I said, what is the desire of your heart? I know the kingdom and all that, but what besides the kingdom, what's the desire of your heart? What would you like? What would you ask me for if I had the money to buy it? He said, you know, I want a flat screen TV. I go, oh, you carnal outfit. You carnal outfit. But that's what this person really felt like that. Said, I really want a flat screen. I said, have you ever thought about asking God for that? Well, no, I'm not going to ask him. I want to ask him for things. And I said, that's a problem. There's a gate issue there. You don't think either worthy, or you think if you ask somehow you're carnal, you're not pursuing the kingdom because you got a flat screen TV to watch sports on. You're being carnal. This particular person's laid their life down for the kingdom. I said, that's not a problem for you. And did God not answer that? He told me the day he was over there looking at flat screens. I said, it feels good, don't it? I said, to have the money to buy that flat screen TV, because God gave him the money for it. They said, God, it feels great. I mean, we think something's wrong with that. I said, and then I asked the question, has this affected your walk with God in any way? He said, no, but it sure turned it up. It sure turned it up. I said, do you mean God actually doesn't mind having you having a flat screen TV? You probably wouldn't come to this church if you were real carnal. But everyone in here is hungry for God. Nobody questions that. We know your faith's going to be used for the kingdom, but it's okay to believe God for something. But there's a gate issue, and God has to tear that down, or you'll never even engage heaven on things like that. And if you can't engage heaven on something like that, you probably don't know how to engage heaven on how to get your business payroll paid. Because there are gate issues. Now, you may not need a flat screen. I'm just using that as an example. These gate issues have to be torn down. Peter had a gate issue. Remember, big gate issue. God does not circumvent the believer to get something done. He has to move through somebody that's in harmony with the way he thinks. And when God said, okay, Gentiles are heirs of the promised Peter, we have a problem. I'm going to use you. In fact, I've already sent Cornelius' men. They're on their way. So while you're fasting and praying, he puts Peter in a trance and he shifts him over into a place where you're suspended in the kingdom. That's what a trance is. He suspends you in the kingdom. You have, when you're in a trance, there's nothing. I've had two or three of them, I know. Nothing on the earth whatsoever pulls on you. Your body, you don't feel any of the pull of the earth. It's all broken. You're suspended completely in the spirit. And then God gives you vision, and so you're like this. Oh, dun, 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 dun. I mean, nothing. You're so honed in on that. He gives it to him three times. Those sheet of four-footed animals. And he says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. That wasn't about him having supper. What, you think he's going to take the animals in the vision and slay them and bring them into reality? He said, not so, Lord. They're unclean. I'm not going to eat anything unclean, because what I call clean, you call unclean. And Peter said he pondered these things, and he pondered them all the way to Cornelius' house. And when he gets to Cornelius' house, he goes, bingo. The light comes on. Oh, my, I perceive that God's no respecter of persons. Why, you spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-stomping, mountain-moving man of wisdom and power. He was fighting with God about an hour earlier. But a gate issue, God adjusted the gate. And when he adjusted the gate issue, you know what I mean, a belief system. He adjusted that, and he now knows that God calls the Gentiles clean. Everyone, how many Gentiles are in here? If you're a Gentile, thank God. Everyone say, thank God I'm clean. He considers us clean, and the Holy Ghost fell as soon as Peter said it. I perceive there's no respect to your persons, and the Holy Ghost falls. If you don't identify the gate issues or allow the Holy Spirit, you'll have trouble receiving or releasing that deposit. And when it does, it gets all caught up in you. And we blame it on God, and that causes more gate issues. You know, when you start indicting God, you'll get big gate issues. Big ones. You can't indict God. So those gate issues have to come down. You understand? When God adjusts that belief system, it releases, it looses, and it changes the way you think. That's why it's so important to sow the word, in particular, sow the image over and over again. Keep listening, keep listening. You know, before I learned to pray in tongues 6 hours a day, when I did pray in tongues 6 hours a day, I don't pray in tongues 6 hours a day anymore, but I pray in tongues a lot. But I learned to do that? I listened to a tape 42 times. Say 42. I could teach the tape exactly, and I did. They'd ask me to come and preach, and I could teach that tape verbatim. Word for word. My father, spiritual father, David Roberson, I could teach his stuff. My God, I could get just like him. I'd get his vocals, I'd get his body movements. I'd stand there. I'd get his squinty eyes. I got all his download. I got all his DNA in me. And it comes out. And I thank God for it. And so, you have to sow. And what you're filled with is what's going to come out. You got to learn to release that. You fill your spirit up with it. So there's these gate issues. Now, what I want to talk to you about is how to repaint the canvas of your belief system. There's many parts you can do that. Confession can actually do that. But there's a part of you that's so creative. We started looking into this on Tuesdays when we contend. We talked a lot about this when we contend financially on Tuesday. I talked about the employment of the creative realm of your sanctified imagination that God's given you to rewrite the belief system or patterns, structural thought patterns that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. So this is what I want to hone in on tonight. So I was talking to Ed on the phone the other day, and we were getting after this, and he said something that just turned me up. He said, I hear this in my spirit. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. We were talking about the imagination, and he goes, you know, the loins are the birthing center. And I'm thinking, why would God put loins in your mind? Loins are here, your mind's here. Why did God say, gird up the loins of your mind? So, boy, I went in that scripture. Because the loins are the birthing center. What part of your mind? Go ahead, my brother. For the benefit of tape, that's Chuck standing in front of me while I'm preaching. Praise God. Amen. Chuck, I don't know if I want to get somebody new to pick on, man. I'm telling you, I'm having a good time with you, brother. So you go, what are the loins of your mind? The birthing center, the imagination's the loins of your mind. He said, gird it up and set your hope to the end of the grace that shall be brought unto you. First Peter. I'll tell you where it's at. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. And I started meditating on that hope. And would you know it, one of those Bible scholars, those commentaries, got it right. Praise God. They don't get it right all the time. Most of the time they don't. But they got it right. I always check with them. Sometimes I get just check with them to get a big laugh. And it said, and listen to what it said. One of the commentaries said this. Because the Holy Spirit always will tell me first. He'll tell me what that means. I knew it meant set your hope into the end. Project your hope to the end. That's how you get evidence, is get your hope out of the natural, get it out of the temporary present now, and project it into what God said and where God said. There's a part of you that can do that. Faith employs the sanctified imagination so you can reach in and see your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand. That's the part of you. That's why Jesus feeds your spirit with parables. Because you see. You think in pictures. And your imagination is what the creative realm causes you to see. Jesus feeds that so he can activate it, so he can paint on the canvas of your belief system a new image. And when he gets the new image, the dominion mechanism shifts. And man, when it shifts, things start happening. You'll be amazed how long it takes God sometimes to tear things down. We all need things torn down. That went over like a lead balloon. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end. Here's what it is. Hope, here's what the commentary said. Hope so perfectly as to reach unto the end of your faith. And hope, namely, the grace that is being brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, hope so perfectly as to reach unto the end of your faith. Set your hope to the end. What does that mean? Why does God give you a vision in the first place? What are you believing for? You have to see that. Well, I'm not going to see that. Well, where are you going to get the evidence? Because faith is the evidence of things hoped for. I mean, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So how are you going to see it? If you don't see it, where are you going to get evidence? Well, I just don't believe any of that. Probably won't visit your doorstep. But I believe it. And it's turning my walk with God straight up. It feels really good. Well, I happened to talk with someone the other day and they didn't believe it. And they were persecuting me. You're going to get persecuted anyway. It doesn't matter what you believe about God, you'll get persecuted for something. You think that everybody's going to like you? Amen. I confess it. So set your hope to the end. Get your hope out of the natural. Get it out of the present temporary and get it to where God said it's happening. That's the shall have. You got to see the shall have come in. You got to see yourself moving and being a mover and shaker, a mover of men and mountains. Remember, God took me to Toccoa, Georgia, just to get me a bottle of dirt. I said, I went here for a week to get a bottle of dirt. He didn't tell you that. He didn't say, oh, by the way, you're going to get a plane. You're going to have to drive an hour and a half. You're going to have to stay in meetings. And then the real purpose you're there is just to give you one bottle of dirt. He didn't tell you that. I wouldn't have gone. He gets me there, and I go to lunch with Bobby Jean Merck. She goes, you know where you're at? I said, no. And she said, R.G. Letourneau built all this. Boy, my antenna went straight up. Because R.G. Letourneau is the one that gave $40 million, 90% of his income before nobody ever gave 90%. Whenever you hear somebody said, I feel God's calling me to give 90% of my income away, they got it all from R.G. Letourneau. He's the one that did that. Back in the 30s, gave $40 million away. In the 30s, that'd be like $400 or $500 million or maybe $1 billion now. He did it. He gave 90% of his income. He did it. When he did that, praise God forever. Well, God wakes me up at midnight. God does a lot of stuff with me at midnight. Sometimes I say, I'm ready to go to bed. Just turns me. I'm like, God, this is not fair. My eyes just go. I just get turned up. And so what happens? He says, go down to that abandoned warehouses you passed yesterday when you were driving down that road. Anna goes, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to go down to these abandoned warehouses. She says, what are you going to do there? I said, I don't know. I'm just going. I get down there. I had to confirm this the next day with Bobby Jean because I didn't know this. I pull into that parking lot of these abandoned warehouses and said, this is where his ministry exploded right here. This is where he built all the equipment for the Normandy D-Day invasion, all those bulldozers and all those tanks and all those boats, those steel boats. He built all that right here. And he goes, when you study his book, you'll find out it exploded right here. Take that dirt. Here's a man that's doing what I'm asking you to do. He's already done it. Let him be a compass. Let it never forget what he's done. He goes, carry that with you. Never forget what that man's done. He says, because I sent him into your generation. I'm preaching on this side because everybody's over here, but I love all y'all. And he said, never forget what he's done and carry it always. Pray with it. He goes, and let it be a compass because I sent him as a compass for your generation. He said, he already has done what I'm asking you to do. That was big. Mover of men and mountains. Powerful man of God. I still have that stuff. I don't know how I got into all that, but praise God. He was because you're getting another image. See, I'm setting another compass within me. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. I was talking to a guy. He lives down the street. He's a neighbor. Carson and our sons have basketball practice together. And we were sitting there and he's a Christian. He knows God. He's just little denominationalized, you know, but I said, okay, Lord, what can I tell him that's not going to go over his head? And I don't know. I tell you, I get in another realm sometime and I can hardly go and talk to people because I'm thinking something come out of my mouth is just normal everyday stuff. And they'll look at you like, what boat did you get off of? And so I'm asking God, help me tone it down because I live in another realm. I think it's all natural and normal. You know how we get? We just start swimming in the river and somebody comes in and they see a hand raised and they're looking like, oh my God, they raised their hands in that church and they fought and they put this gold cloth on them. And their eyes are like this. That frightens me. They're pushing them down at the altar. Well, I tell the ushers, you know, they don't fall down. You reach by the back of their head, you pull them down. I'm just kidding. Praise God forever. What was I just saying? I'm kind of rambling. Oh, I was talking to my neighbor, and so I got into something with him. What did I get into him with, Lord? God, that was a good story, too. I got lost track, I know. What did I get into with him about? Yeah, I know, but I can't remember what I told him now. I lost my focus. I'm losing focus. This is the story. This is the message that God wants you to get. Do not lose focus. You've got to stay focused. I'll get around to what I told him later. Praise God. But you've got to get in there, and so you get things. You got to, there's certain people, there's certain anointings. You got to feed the image within you that God is building. Because that image is who you're going to be. It's where you're going to birth from. It's where you're going. It's where the Holy Spirit's taking you. It's where He's going to release from your life. You got to feed that image. You got to learn to get your imagination working in the right direction. So we taught how to do this on Tuesdays. We're teaching how to do this. And we taught how to sit still and focus in and use it for what God intended you to use it for. See yourself in that place. See, when I hold that there, I see myself doing that same thing. And I was talking to Mark the other day, and he was talking about how God gave him a vision of sitting behind it. What was that, a mahogany? Beautiful mahogany table. Beautiful mahogany desk and writing checks. See, God gave him that vision over and over, and he didn't know what to do with that vision. Because he's not sitting at a mahogany desk right now. But what he's happened, since he knows he feeds that into his, because he sees those checks he's writing. And he sees that over and over again. And what that does is starts rewriting and starts adjusting things within us. That's how to gird up the loins of your mind. You're girding them up and you're bringing that birthing center into focus and setting your hope into the end of the matter. So you're setting your hope to the end. That's why God had to get me to go to Toccoa, Georgia. He needed me to see somebody that's done this so I could set my hope to that. He goes, because if all you're doing is just to live the tithe, you're never going to really conquer. You're doing good. I'm glad you're doing that. But he didn't call me to do that. He called me to overcome the flesh, the world system, the devil, and become a steward like that. And I had to have that compass set, God setting compass. See, and you hold that compass and you see it. And I talk about that. Now I'm going to show you something. This is powerful. All right. Go to 1 Timothy 4. You're going to love this. Now, the Bible talks about this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate in there day and night. You meditate. The word meditate actually means to set your imagination. When you meditate the word, you see it. That's why God talks in parables. He wants you to see it. He feeds it into your imagination, because then your imagination starts rewriting the belief system to tear down the old gates and raise the new ones. Remind me to get to Isaiah 62 if we have the time tonight, but I got to get here. I've been wanting to get here tonight. Praise God forever. Now, there's two ways that you set your imagination into the Logos. You know what I mean by that? The written word. When you're meditating the word, you're meditating parables. God made it real easy for you. The whole Bible is poetic. Most all of it. Most of the great men and women God were all poetic. David was majorly poetic. Jesus taught in parables. It's the poetic nature of God to get you to see so he can imprint it on the canvas of your belief system that he can bring it forth. If you'll start learning to focus your sight and don't be afraid to focus what God on what he said, focus and see it, because I want to get you to a place where you get a lock in. What's a lock-in? I learned to sit and, when I'm believing God for something, okay, let's see if this is scriptural. Owe no man anything but to love him. So I want to get out of debt, right? So I get the scripture, owe no man anything but to love him. I get the scripture that I'm a lender in the earth. I shall not borrow. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only. So I'm in line with his kingdom, right? I'm perfectly in line. So when I get in there, I already have my petition made. I've already asked. It's already in me. But I want everything in me to agree. So I sit there and I'll get focused. And I'll say, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What would be the first thing I'd do if the money arrived. What? And I sit there and I look at it. The first thing I do, I see myself over and over running to Anna. We're free of debt. We're free of debt. We owe no man anything. Look, we can pay them all. Look, let's start writing them right now. Glory to God. Bless it. Send it. Bless it. Send it. Bless it. Send it. I start feeling that. I started laughing. I started feeling that. And I got so locked into it, I started having faith. And the Lord said, this is what Abraham, this is where I want Abraham to be. You've got to see that. That releases an imprint upon your belief system. You won't get a lot of people teach you this stuff, but this is how the kingdom works. When that imprint's released, the dominion mechanism begins to set things in motion. If it runs into something, doesn't believe that, oh, well, you know, I'm taught by mammon that I got to pay 30 years for a mortgage. I've got monthly faith. Well, who set that faith up? Who set up monthly faith? How many of us have monthly faith? You know what I'm talking about, monthly faith? The mortgage comes in, you pay it monthly. Everything's structured around paying that mortgage, being a slave to mammon for 30 years. Mammon sets that up. Mammon enjoys your slavery. Get a house paid for, go buy a bigger one. Let's try this over for another 30 years. See that? Why can't we adjust the way we believe and said, we can pay this off if we set our sight and our heart and mind. Now, God may have to give me a bigger field, but he's got to adjust my belief system first. And I get a lock-in. What's a lock-in? The only way I can describe it is I come out of that realm of the anointing. I'm driving down the road. And all of a sudden, I find myself locking back in where I was in that meditation. When I lock back in, I said, oh, I see that again. And God starts painting. He starts painting again all over. And you start finding yourself believe differently. You think differently. You interact differently. Things start changing and things start flowing. Amen. Now, let's listen to the scripture. I'm going to give you a great 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, neglect not the gift that is in where? Neglect, don't fall asleep on me right now. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Where's the gift? In you. That was given to thee by prophecy. With the laying hands of the hands of the presbytery. That gift was released. Look what the next verse says. 1 Timothy 4:12. Meditate. Okay, I'm sorry, 14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Meditate upon these things. Everyone say meditate. I'm hitting some of y'all's threshold, but I'm going to preach you right through that threshold. Meditate upon these things. You know what that word meditate means? Maleato, to take care of. To revolve in the mind, to imagine. Set your imagination on the gift of God that's in you. What's that mean? Dare to dream. You know, some of the greatest preachers in the world, you know what they would do? They didn't have a venue to preach from. So you know what they did? They'd go out and they'd set up chairs. You should hear the testimony. Some of the greats, they'd set up chairs. And they'd close their eyes and imagine there was 50,000 people out there preaching to. They'd sit there and they'd imagine, they'd close their eyes. And some of their testimonies would say that when they preached to 50,000 people, it was so real in them that the day that God actually delivered that, they could feel the same feelings the day they started. Some of them would go out to the trees and see them all and see they learned to release that. And Billy Graham did that. See, because they saw, they released the mechanism that released God. Set your imagination on the gift. That's why that gift is always in you. And you can just close your eyes and you start dreaming. You'll generally see it. You see yourself going to the nations. You see yourself writing checks. You see yourself doing business in great waters. You see God answering your prayers. You feel it. Now, Gary Carpenter got a hold of this, and he shared this with me because he got a hold of my teaching on this. And so, Gary, if you're listening, kudos to you, my brother. It says, give thyself wholly to them. That's not holy, H-O-L-Y. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Give thyself wholly, fully, that thy profiting may appear to all. That's the shall have. That's the outflow. Give yourself wholly. And here's what give yourself wholly actually means. And I'm going to give you something that God did with me. It means to be in these things. To be in them or to escape into it. You know, I know a lot of people, when they get under pressure, sometimes they'll go to a movie or something. Everyone deals with their pressure different ways. You know, some people go to a bar, not anybody in here, but you know, people in the world, they're escaping. And by the time they've had six, they're looking at the guy down at the end of the bar and said, I could take him. Or they start flirting with his wife. And he said, hey, that is mine. He goes, don't mess with me. I can take you. Why? He is not evaluating his circumstances in the actual light that they exist in. He's somewhere else. He has projected himself out of common sense, reality, and reasoning. Now, they do that to escape. God has us to do escape into evidence. Escape into the reality of the kingdom. Because what was the reality of the kingdom for Abraham's body? Considering not dead. You're wearing a body that I'm commanding you to give birth from, but your body's dead. Stay with me. I'm commanding you. Abraham had to escape out of that circumstance because that circumstance was feeding him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was being fed. Nobody does this. This is impossible, Abraham. And even if you could, then you have to deal with Sarah. So we got, and after a while, you can't violate her will. You know, so we got, it's not going to happen. Where do you think Abraham had to escape out? Where do you think he escaped to? He closed his eyes or even opened them. Look at the stars of the heaven, sand of the seashore, and he began to dream. And God gave him the evidence of what he was saying and repainted his beliefs. He escaped into it. Be thou in these things. Escape into them. I remember when we went to it wasn't Disney World. We went to the other one. Universal Studios, about 4 or 5 years ago. And the kids, you know, they were small. They wanted to do the real small things, and I wanted to do the Terminator. And I couldn't get anybody to go to Terminator with me. You know, Carson said, no, I ain't doing Terminator, Daddy. And I said, I'm going to go do it. So I let them go do, I don't know what they did, but I went to Terminator. I couldn't wait. Now, in Universal Studios, I don't know if you've been there, they project you. They set up an environment to project you somewhere else. And I remember I sit because they got these seats that roll and make noise. But it was 3D with all this too. And like when the bug spit, they spit water on you. So you thought the spit was hitting you. You're going, oh my God. I mean, they project all that, but nothing's happening. But you feel like it. Well, the Terminator, they get into that headquarters of the Terminator. I'm sitting there, and they got it rolling. It's 3D, and the guys are coming out. And, you know, they're not actually there. I take the glasses off. I'm like, they aren't sitting right there. But when these guys would come, the 3D, because you'd see everybody going like that, you know. Who's right in front of you like that. They've got that finger, you know, that turns into the sword. I'm telling you right now, that dude, he pointed his finger and he went like that, and that sword went right through me. I go, oh my God! I felt like the sword, because all my visual, I had escaped into a reality that was not, take the glasses off, none of that happens. But they project you in a different reality because they're using the parts of you that are creative to do that. They're connecting with that creative realm in you. And it gives you an exhilarating experience. Wait till the bugs. Go to the bug show and the bug decides to spit on you and the water's released and you think it's spit. You're going, oh my God. That's what God needs you to do, is escape out of this temporary realm when you're projecting in faith, because you're not getting the evidence from the temporary. There's a part of you that can project into what God tells you. I'm not talking about astral projection here. I'm not talking about New Age astro. I'm talking about projecting in faith. I'm talking about your faith seeing the promise of God. Don't get crazy with the stuff. I'm talking about aligning. Be thou in this. Give yourself wholly. Escape into this. Why? See the reality of my kingdom, because it's greater than the reality of yours. But it doesn't come forth if you can't see it. That's why Peter, he had to get him to see something different. He adjusted him using sight. He adjusted something in him. God needs to make some adjustments in your vision. And you got to learn to focus and keep your vision at all costs. Keep it in the midst of your heart. When you do that, that shield of faith starts raising and developing around you, and you start being full. Oh, the devil hates it when I talk about this stuff, because I got his number. Because you have to understand, it doesn't matter where you start with this stuff. If you can stay focused, God will increase and abound and multiply, increase, abound, and multiply. Just like Abraham. Father, give me your truth. That's what meditation is. You're escaping in to what God has said about the situation. I already know what the devil said. Every one of us know. Where am I going to get evidence? Learn to escape into the evidence. Learn to escape into the word. Escape into what God has said and live there. And so it repaints the belief system. And when it lines up, there's a release from the kingdom. And when there's a release from the kingdom, guess what? Oh, that's the day of the shall have. Sometimes God doesn't even need that part to deliver certain things, but you start working with God in the kingdom. He'll start asking, what'll happen is your faith will get up into a ceiling. I'm closing with this. Something you can just get. I got that one blessing just by believe I received when I prayed. Before I started, it came 3 days because I just got it. And God said, that's enough. Now what happens, you'll start getting excited and you'll want to go to the next level. And so as the next level, God's saying, okay, the next level is going to require dealing with a gate issue. That gate issue's in you. He goes, I got to tear down some ways you think. That's what Abraham, he was stretching him. Stretching him to dare to believe what God has said. I want to go through this one scripture before I let you go. Isaiah 62. Are you still with me? Are you at Universal Studios? Are you back there with R.G. Letourneau? Or where did I lose you? Man, I was with you until the Universal stuff, my brother. That's all right. Isaiah 62. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. I know it. Okay, where am I going, Lord? Okay, verse 2. Everyone say, he's closing. We're closing. Isaiah 62:2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings. Now, you know who he's talking to? People that are in captivity. This is prophecy to those who are in captivity. You know, from about 40 all the way to 65 is all about how you're going to be free from captivity. If you're captive, if you want faith, go to Isaiah. What's that? That's notes from last week. He's in the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. He's telling them, you're going to come out of captivity. You're going to be a nation again. Now imagine 70 years of captivity. Oh, yeah, right. We're in Babylon. Oh, yeah, somebody's going to come and break the gates of Babylon down. Their walls are 18 foot thick. Yeah, sure. Because that's what happens. You get in your circumstance, you think there's no way out. How'd you like to be them guys? Isaiah 62, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and the kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. I'm going to give you a new name. You're in captivity. Your name right now is Forsaken. That's their name. That was their, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. This is what God does to you in captivity. He comes and tells you all this stuff, and you're thinking, we've been here for 70 years. We're going to be here for another 70. No, you don't think like that, but that's where they thought. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. See, that was their name, forsaken. That's the way they felt. Don't start agreement with your environment. You'll get a name written on your forehead that'll attract all kinds of devils to keep you there. Devils can sense fear. They smell it like a dog. Dog can know when you're afraid. Thou shalt, neither shalt thou be any more termed desolate. If you're desolate and forsaken, God's going to give you a new name. Everyone say, God's given me a new name. I say it every day. I got a new name. I'm sought out. So go on down here. Watch it. Watch verse 10. Go through. Look at this. Go through the gates. Where do you think the gates you're going through? The ones inside that are blocking, because you got to believe this. Go through the gates. Prepare the way of the people. Prepare the way of the Lord. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift the standard. The stones are the stonies, things that are holding your gate back. Those gate issues is all grown over with thorns. He said, go through that gate. Gather out the stones. My word is a rock. My word is a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Break up all that stuff. Prepare that path for the Lord. So the King of Glory, open you gates that the King of Glory may come in. Open you gates that the King of Glory can come through me. Open you gates. That's why I say it. My gates are open. They're open. Open. I go like this. Oh. I see my gate open day and night. Day and night. They shall not be shut. They shall not be shut. I'm gathering the stones out. I want the Lord, the King of Glory, to come through my gates. He's got to adjust my sight. Sometime he's got to adjust my mouth. Sometime he's got to adjust issues, religious mindsets, traditions, things that you may be taught that you're holding on to that you go, oh, it's in this. And he may not be. Now get this. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say you to the daughter of Zion. This is the one in captivity. Behold, thy salvation cometh. His reward is with him and his work before him. He's coming with his reward. And when he does, then he's going to put you to work in his kingdom. That was funny. All right. His reward is with him. And they shall call them, verse 12, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. For thou shalt be called sought out. A city not forsaken. I walk around. During the day, I am sought out. I am sought out of the kings of the world. This church is sought out of the nations. It's sought out. I'm sought. The favor of God comes to me daily. I'm attracting favor like a magnet. I see myself like a big magnet. Father, let me track all the good things in your kingdom. I don't attract dregs. I'm not attracting thorns or thistles. I'm attracting goodness and favor and mercy. I'm sought out. I'm sought out of the next business deal. The next $1 million, $2 million, $3 million buyer that's coming through this city. If you're in real estate, I like to use real estate, but they're going to seek somebody out. Next person who wants to do all that land development, they're going to seek somebody out. I am sought out. The next $1 million steward that's looking for a new church home, I am sought out. The next worship leader, that's going to stay with me till Jesus comes back, I am sought out. The next crop of leaders that are going to carry the torch with our DNA, I am sought out. The ones that I want the disciples are going to lay their life down for the kingdom, harmony, and glory. Servants, I'm sought out. Everyone say, I am sought out. I am not forsaken anymore. Don't you be walking around saying, oh God, why have you forsaken? Because you feel that in the wilderness. The devil wants you to feel that. I am sought out. I am sought out. It's on my forehead. I am no longer forsaken. I am no longer rejected. I am no longer betrayed. I don't have that design on me anymore. You want to be with me. You love me. I'm sought out. Do you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm closing again. Rejected people carry an atmosphere of rejection. They don't know why everybody rejects them, because there's an atmosphere on them that tells you reject. And guess who you attract? People that will reject. If you've been betrayed, guess what you attract? People that are going to betray you more. Guess who you seek out? Those to betray you. You don't want, because the design's there. You got to break the design. When the design is broken, people who have favor on them, that everybody loves them, everywhere they go, everybody loves them. They can walk in with anybody. I just like doing business with you. I like you. Walk in your office and I feel the anointing. I feel something. I like it here. I like it here. What is it about this place? I like it. Because I'm sought out. I'm sought out. Every time someone comes around, you say, I'm sought out. Everyone say, I'm sought out. My business is sought out. The nations are seeking what's in me. I am sought out. What's in you is important, and it's sought out of the nations. Oh, that's good, isn't it? If you don't feel that way, break the rocks in pieces. Go through the gate and clear the gateway out. Clear the belief system out. So the King of Glory can come in and say, hey, you are sought out. He's going to use somebody. It's going to be me. I'm sought out of the King. I'm sought out of the Lord. I can't get off of it. I'm sought out of you, Father. I say it all the time. I am sought out of you. I attract you. I am the apple of your eye. You can't take your eye off of me. Even when I'm in the flesh. I said, forgive me when I'm in the flesh. You still get in the flesh. I've gotten in the flesh this week, but I'm sought out. Just because you get in the flesh doesn't mean you're not favored of the Lord. Because your belief system is, I really favored of the Lord. My flesh will rise up every once in a while, but that's not who I am. I am really sought out. My Father's seeking me out right now to do me good and not evil. Give me a desire. And you see the difference in the way you believe? You know what that attracts? Angels. It attracts the Father. It attracts the Holy Spirit. He likes being around like stuff like that. God does not like hanging around unbelief. The Holy Spirit's utterly vexed with unbelief. He doesn't like that atmosphere at all. That does not please him to live in a place of condemnation and shame and self-pity. That does not please the Holy Spirit. That doesn't cause him to come around you. He's attracted by your faith. He's attracted like a magnet when you start believing what God said about you. It attracts him. I want you to do this week. Just wake up. I am sought out. When you're in the business and you're waiting for if you're in a business where the phone needs the ring, I understand that. I am sought out. I am sought out. If you're in a business where you got to get on the phone, Father, put the person who's looking for me on that. When I call, I'm their man because I'm sought out. And those of you that are on staff, you're already found. Praise God. Glory to God. Let's stand up. Praise God forever. You can prophesy to finances. I am sought out. You're looking for me. Father, thank you tonight. Father, let this get in them. Repaint. Father, transport us into our future, Father. Let us escape into the reality of the kingdom. Let us escape into the evidence of the kingdom. Let us be in these things. Let us gird up the loins of our mind, Father, and set our hope into the end. Set our hope to where the circumstances are no more, where faith is, where evidence is. Father, tonight we take our hope and we set it into the end of the matter, where it's done, where it's finished, where everything you said about it's already completed. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Our gates are open continually, day and night. Open you gates that the King of Glory shall come in. Let the gates of this church open. Let the gates of the businesses open. Let the gates of the ministries open. Let the gates open, Father. For we are sought out. We are sought out. We got a new name. We are not a forsaken people. We are not a rejected people. We are sought out of the nations. Oh, man. Wow. Man, you need to let that get in you. Release. Release. You need to let that get in you. Release. Whew. Awesome. Okay, amen.